It came to pass as Morgan promised. To a person on land, the sight of a ship's sails, bleached by sun, stretched by wind, is the very image of airy lightness. In fact, a sail is made of very heavy canvas. When one gets tangled on a spar, it must be pulled loose quickly, or it can tear or burst, and in so doing, pull down rigging, spars, even a mast. A sail out of control can flick like a wild whip and send a full-grown sailor into a senseless spin. It often happens. Now the flying jib is set at the furthest point of the bowsprit, at the very tip of it. When you consider that the bow of a speeding ship on a high sea forever rises and falls, you will perceive that a broken jib can dip into the sea itself. Such is the water's force and the driving of the ship that the bowsprit itself can be caused to snap. Thus, the sailor who seeks to repair a tangled jib must contend not only with a heavy, flailing sail, but the powerful, rushing sea only a few feet, sometimes closer, below him. One afternoon, 2 days after our forecastle talk and during my watch, the flying jib became entangled in just the way I have described. As soon as he saw it, Captain Jaggery cried,
"Mr. Doyle, fix the bowsprit."
In his haste to call on me, he spoke directly, not through one of his mates. Before I could respond, Grimes leaped forward, calling,
"I'll do it, sir."
Grimes was one of the bearded ones, quick to flare, quick to forget.
"The call was for Mr. Doyle," returned the captain. "Does he refuse?"
"No, sir," I said, and hurried to the knighthead from which the bowsprit thrust forward. Grimes hurried along with me, offering hasty instructions in my ear, as well as urging a splicing knife upon me. I took it and put it in a pocket.
"Charlotte, do you see that line out there?"
he asked, pointing to the twisted line at the far end of the bowsprit that had snarled the jib. I nodded.
"Don't monkey with the sail itself. All you need do is cut the rope. The sail will free itself, and we've got others. Mind, you'll need to cut sharp. Then swing down under the bowsprit in one quick jump, or the sail will toss you in. Understand?"
Again I nodded.
"Time yourself proper. If the ship plunges, the sea will up and grab you."
So cocky had I become that I leaped to the head rail with little thought or worry, then set my foot upon the bowsprit itself. I saw that I needed to walk out along this bowsprit some 20 feet. Not too difficult a task, I thought, because the back rope was something I could cling to. As I had by now learned to do, I started off by keeping my eyes on the bowsprit and my bare feet, inching step by step along it. The hiss of the water rushing below was pronounced, the bowsprit itself wet and slippery with foam. No matter. What took me by surprise was the bowsprit's wild bobbing. Halfway along, I glanced back. For the first time since I'd boarded the ship, I saw the figurehead clearly, the pale white seahawk with wings thrust back against the bow, its head extended forward, beak open wide in a scream. As the bow dipped, this open beak dropped and dropped again into the sea, coming up each time with foam streaming like a rabid dog. So startled was I by the frightful vision that for a moment I froze, until a sudden plunge of the ship almost tumbled me seaward.